Do-ba-do-ba-do-do-ba-do. Shots from Ipanema. I think I've already done this one, so let's think of a new one. But I don't know another song that reads quite like this for holding music, but I'm gonna keep going because the guys are still away, and you know that I'm drinking drinks and waiting to talk about some movies also. I like the sound
I'm
of
also
my
drinking
own voice.
My beer. I'm drinking beer and I'm talking to movies with the beer. Gonna be drinking. Oh, God, that was the heart of the crack. Hello, everybody.
Made your work for it.
Did you hear the struggle?
Oh, the best.
The struggle was real.
It sounded like you hit the tab and then someone attacked you right after you clicked it.
Hey, what can I say? It's a crowler. Mm. Oh, spoiler alert. I'm Aaron.
I'm Ben.
I'm Doug.
And welcome, everybody, to another edition of Sots Watch.
Sots Watch. Sots Watch.
So on the agenda today, we'll start with tradition with what we're drinking. I'm going to go ahead and start pouring mine.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and start with my beverages because I'm very excited. Not really. It's just different. So I'm not recording from sunny Los Angeles today, guys. No, no. I'm up in beautiful Monterey, California, getting ready to work an event out at the Laguna Seca racetrack. And one of the nice things about the Embassy Suites, when you want a happy hour every night, because that's what they do. Every Embassy Suites from 5:30 to 7:30 has like a free reception in their lobby with free beer and free drinks. So I got two of the free drinks. I got a Rum Punch Fizz and a Mad Turtle Tea.
Uh-huh.
But what's in a Rum Punch Fizz, I hear you not ask. So let me answer anyway.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Do you want me to say it? And then we'll pretend to put it in later.
Yeah. Rum, pineapple juice, orange juice, cranberry juice, Sprite. There's not a lot of rum, and there's practically no fizz. So it's really just a lot of juice, which is fine. And then the Mad Turtle Tea has black tea vodka, which is interesting. Peach schnapps, which is not as interesting. Lemonade, and also Sprite. So, what do you want? They're free.
I can't argue with you.
What's in a Rum Punch Fizz?
We'll chop that up and put it back where it's useful.
No, just leave it. Just leave it where it is.
I am drinking a little something from... Well, it was purchased at Super Saver here in Lincoln, Nebraska, local grocery store. This one does have the label, Ben. it's just the funniest thing.
Is it? How funny is it, actually?
Oh, it's the funniest thing. we'll get into that story another time. Or maybe this is the proper time. Basically, they have a crowler system at this local grocery store, and after a decent amount of time waiting for these two crowlers to get poured and canned,
it took forever.
And all that,
it took at least 10 minutes.
Lady Prince
for her to fill two cans with beer and operate the machine.
I mean, it felt like
10 minutes on them.
Honestly, it felt like 10 minutes per crowler.
It was
honest,
a long time.
It took a long time.
You guys were, from when you told me you were going on the beer run to when you arrived, was a good 40 minutes.
Well, we were also selecting other beers.
Take the normal 20 minutes it takes us to decide upon the ridiculous amount of beer we're going to buy. And then double it for the amount of time it took this woman to do her job.
Yes. She finally gets these done. Prints out the labels. And, you know, slaps it on the can, has to turn and look to see what the price was and what the label was. Gets one jotted down, looks back at the board again for the second can. Takes a little longer. Ben has to chime in. It's like, it's the porter. So she, oh, right, right, right. She brings the crowlers over to the station, rings one up, $7.98. The next one, she pauses, looks at the can, kind of tilts it around. Oh, isn't that the funniest thing? And she explains that this particular new label system doesn't have the barcode on it. And, oh, isn't that just the funniest thing?
And I'm like, yes, hilarious, whatever.
She punches it
Give me my beer.
She punches in some manual code to ring in the beer.
Oh, and no, not one last time. She says it again. And then I hand her my GD money. And she's like counting the money. And she like, she thinks it's so funny that she has to stop mid count and like hang her head and just chuckle a little and be like, well, I tell you, it's just the funniest thing. And I literally, Doug and Aaron, when I tell you that I almost lost my shit in an LA road rage, like, what the fuck are you doing sort of way? I mean, I was teetering on the edge. I was, ooh.
We saw you do that when a bus tried to go through a tunnel in Ireland, Ben. We've seen that. Oh, cool. I guess we're just driving through this tunnel, I guess, with a bus. It doesn't fit in the tunnel. That's great.
Oh.
My Doug is dying of a hangover in the back seat. Oh, and Aaron's just like, num, 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 my egg salad sandwich.
That's true.
And you two ruined many classic songs by changing the lyrics to poop, butt, and fart.
Mm-hmm. As we do.
But we improved a couple, and that's the important
thing. Yes, that is true.
That's right. It's those couple that have stuck around. Anyway, this crowler is a Hawaiian porter.
I remember when I was in Hawaii.
It does. That's all it says. It says Hawaiian porter. I don't know the brewery. I have an ABV, which is 7.1.
That's a great point. I can't think of whose porter that is. Uh-huh. It said it on the board, but I'm not the one who is writing the label.
It's not Big Kona Wave or whatever, is it?
I don't think so.
I don't know why that would be in a on tap, but
yeah, it's just the funniest thing.
I am drinking Zipline Alpha Modern. I've had it many times before. It's good. It's an oldie, but
it's always good.
Yeah, I had a bunch of stuff before the football game, but then we lost in spectacular fashion, so it was a sad. It turned into sad karaoke. You guys were there. You remember it all.
It was very sad karaoke.
It did. That was very sad karaoke.
That's about all.
We got outcoached. Outcoached in the second half.
In the second half, they were rolling.
For those of you unaware, Nebraska Cornhuskers went 17-0 at the end of the first half against Colorado this past Saturday. We then managed to lose 34-31 to Colorado. In overtime. We just completely fell apart. And like he said, just got outcoached.
I had Nebraska scoring 32, though. So in my pool, that I'm in, I gained a lot of points.
Well, goddamn, Doug.
Because I think I had Colorado at 28, so that was only a 6-point difference. So,
yeah. Well, silver lining, I suppose.
Yep. The winner gets a king-sized candy bar.
What? Yep.
All right. Wouldn't it be great if they made an actual a candy bar the size of a king? Like, it could be an old king, so it's not as big as current people, but
Henry VIII or bust.
Oh, damn. I think they'd have to make
the only king that matters.
They'd have to make Henry VIII a peep. Couldn't make a candy bar hold that shape. Or maybe a hollow Santa type situation, but hollow chocolate Santa.
Like the chocolate Easter bunny, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or a Cadbury cream egg, and everyone would
have to. Yeah, you'd pay like $25 for a solid chocolate Henry VIII.
I'd do it. I don't even like chocolate that much. I don't know if I would do it, but $25. Yeah. That's a good deal.
Yeah, $25. That's got to be like a lot of chocolate.
Well,
pure Peruvian North Slope cacao.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the rum fizz is bad. Update.
Moving on to Mad Turtle tea.
Nope, I'm struggling through this first drink.
Ah,
because it's mostly juice, and rum is also just kind of juice.
In a way,
it's just a lot of sugar.
It is.
Do we have anything for movie news?
Nothing really. Disney announced a bunch of stuff on Disney Plus today, which sounds kind of exciting, like the X-Men cartoon and like DuckTales and all that.
Yeah, the old Marvel cartoons are going to be on there, which is exciting.
Yeah, and like Tailspin, Darkwing Duck, those they said will be on there as
Darkwing Duck.
I didn't watch much of those. I watched DuckTales.
When there's trouble, you call the W.
Darkwing Duck!
Let's get dangerous.
I was going to say, I couldn't remember his little tagline there at the end.
And sometimes some crimes go slipping through the cracks,
but these two gumshoe shoes are picking up the slack.
There's no case, no case too big, no case too small.
When you need help, just call Chip and Dale.
Rescue Rangers.
Chip and Dale, when there's danger.
When there's danger. Yep. And I don't remember the Tailspin theme song.
Tailspin. Yeah.
That's how it goes. I for one, am excited to watch 90s Spider-Man again and realize how horrible of a cartoon it probably was.
See, but man, what a banger of a theme. Well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They say Spider-Blood.
Spider-Man. Radioactive Spider-Man.
It's better than old American Dragon Ball Z intro.
Dragon, pop the dragon. Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's when true.
It sounds like they added a W between the D and the R on dragon. Dragon! Dragon!
Dragon! Yeah, okay. I can hear it now.
So yeah, that's all I really thought of for movie news, too. It's not a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uneventful
Joker
day.
Got an 8-minute... Here's one. Do you believe this? Joker got an 8-minute standing ovation at Toronto International Film Festival.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. Do you know how long 8 minutes is if you're just standing and clapping?
That's a long time.
I can't imagine that everyone's standing and clapping. They're like, yeah, okay, that was pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty good. It's pretty good. Guys like slowing down, clapping, and about to sit down. Someone else is like, and they're like, oh, okay, all right. Yeah, still good. For 8 minutes that went on?
That's what. Yeah. Wow. We're going to keep talking. I'm going to say. Just give me a second. We're going to keep talking, but I'm going to say when 8 minutes is up as we're recording it, starting now. So we can just keep talking, but I'll just say when 8 minutes up.
Okay.
But yeah, is the movie that good?
Can
any movie be that good?
Maybe it delivered something that was a fairly satisfying possibility for Joker's origins, and that seemed like such a distant possibility that maybe people are very impressed with that. But could it possibly be that good? I don't know. Maybe.
Well, and it's tough because we hear now this is a little bit different because it was just the studio executives, but like Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice got a standing ovation, and that movie was garbage. So it might be your audience. You think of the Toronto Film Festival though, if they clapped at all, they're like, oh, it was pretty good.
It's also, we have to remember, it's in Canada, so they're terribly polite. Like a lot of this may have just been like, oh, very good job, they made a good long movie here. Maybe in Canada, it's polite to clap a percentage of the length of the movie, just like it's by the way, it's only been a minute since you started timing.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, I know. No, I got my thing going. So we're still applauding and standing, possibly with.
Like, we're not even at the crescendo of the applauding yet. We're still on the upswing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe they're like, what's the math on that? 1.5% of a 3-hour movie? We'll clap for 8 minutes. That'll be good.
Do Do you think it's going to be good, though, like in a regular sense?
I don't know. I have no expectations or any kind of inkling what kind of movie they made there. I've seen obviously one, maybe two trailers, but yeah. That can only reveal so much.
Yeah, that's a good point. I agree with you, Aaron. I don't really have a good beat on this movie or how I'm going to feel about it, which is actually, I guess, my preferred way to go into a movie, rather than have an expectation for good or for bad. But that being said, now I'm starting to feel like there's a lot of pressure from the hype and I almost don't want to like it now. Like I've, my little hipster hackles have almost risen and I'm almost ready to be like, oh man, nothing could be that good. Was it Scorsese?
Like, well, nothing. I don't think any movie could be that good. If an 8-minute standing ovation would be like, we found the cure for all of cancer.
Yeah.
You'd probably stand and clap for 8 minutes, but I think at minute six, people get tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I must see it anyway. Depending on which part of the internet you're on, it's a great subversion of the genre, or it's another edgelord attack, and it's going to let incels do whatever garbage stupid, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Well, that's one thing that you have to realize about like incels and flat earthers and anti-vaxxers and things like they're all the same people. Cause it's like, in order to believe what they believe, you have to not care about facts at all. So it doesn't matter what you make. If they want to find a way to spin it to them, they will. So make what you want to make and don't worry about how they're going to take it or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Plus, what if it's a really interesting examination of, like, lunatics who think that way? You
could,
never know.
Like, it could be. And I don't, like, I think, well, I think but it if is, it is, yeah. If it's an insightful look at, like, if Joaquin Phoenix plays a real fucking creepy loser that you are supposed to just hate throughout the movie because he's a sleazebag, but that's what the point of it is, terrific. That might be a really entertaining film.
Well, that's what I understand, is that Joaquin Phoenix studied like the laughter of pathological people that just start laughing.
People who can't stop laughing.
Yeah. He studied footage of that in order to nail the Joker laugh. His Joker laugh, I should say. Which is cool. I mean,
good source of inspiration. Absolutely. Yeah, I think.
So I'm sure he plays that kind of creepy psycho persona well enough. It's just whether or not he can fully grasp the Joker, because the Joker's a little more than that.
Well,
yeah, we'll see what they do. I think
that a lot of people will say this, and I tend to agree with them, is that a big part of what made the Joker is not knowing where he came from or what his motivations are, just
right.
seeing him. God, I can't talk right now. Maybe this rum punch fizz is a little punchier than I thought it was. Not much rum or much fizz, but damn that punch.
It's the after fizz.
It's the after fizzler. But I think that a big part of the allure with the Joker is much like a lot of the allure with Wolverine. And that is, you don't exactly know their past. And their past isn't super important. You can kind of assume whatever their past was led them to this fucking insane spot that they occupy now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting because a lot of people say, you know, Batman movies are only interesting when the Joker is in it because the Joker is the opposite of Batman. Well, will the reverse be true? Can you make a good Joker movie without his antithesis in the story?
That's a good point.
Not that, because there have been good Batman movies without the Joker. But
the best ones, I think.
Sure. Only a couple. Yeah, that'd be easy to argue. Really the only one, I don't know, Batman Returns, I haven't seen in so long, it's hard to say. But Batman Begins was good.
I'm less impressed by it every time I see it.
Really?
I think that's true of all the Nolan Batmans for me. The only thing that stays consistent is how I feel about Heath Ledger's Joker, and that is, damn. I think that was a really good performance. But
that's just one of those, that's one of those things that's just going to be legendary. Like, yeah. I don't know if there's ever going to be a performance of the Joker specifically that will top Heath Ledger's.
Yeah.
He just, he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, yeah, they said the same thing about Nicholson, though. You never, ever know.
That's true.
But, yeah, I don't know, it's going to be hard because you've had the Nicholson very wacky, like literally tricks up his sleeve Joker.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Heath Ledger's very calculated psychopath.
I think that
version,
people
so.
Praised Nicholson's performance because it was the most like a modernization of, is it Romero? Was that the original TV
Cesar,
Joker?
Yeah. Cesar Romero. Romero.
I think it was most like a modernization of Cesar Romero's Joker. Mm-hmm. And in that capacity, I think Nicholson did a fantastic job. But in making a Joker who seems more like a true to form villain and not a, you know, campy, well, you know, sort of villain.
You can stop clapping now, everybody. It's been 8 minutes.
Jesus.
We can all, the ovation can,
man.
We had a full conversation
insane.
About that
yeah.
character and
I completely forgot you were clapping. Timing. So,
mm-hmm.
Did you want to finish?
No,
your
not really. I'm just ranting because I got punched by the rum
okay.
fizz.
Should we go to our topic?
I think we should.
Yeah, why not? I don't think we've got any other movie news.
I didn't say anything.
Which makes me
great.
You know what? I'll tell you guys, that makes me real sad. It makes me real sad. That was a real sad ending to that segment. Speaking of segues, we're talking about...
We're doing a whole hour on segues, guys. The best segues, the worst.
We're talking about, well, not necessarily sad, but movies that do not have sure. happy endings. Doesn't necessarily have to be sad, but you don't leave with a necessarily good yeah. feeling. By design, of course.
Or maybe not by design. Maybe there's one that's sad on accident.
Maybe not, you know?
Oh, yeah, I wonder. I didn't. Sad. Mine aren't sad on accident, but that would be interesting.
Yeah, mine were intentional. I don't know about you
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, I don't have a ton.
But
I have a few.
I've only got I've only got two selections.
I immediately can think of two, and one of them is kind of a joke, but it's all right.
Okay. Who would like to start?
I'll go ahead and go first. It's the first movie
okay.
actually that came to mind. It's the second movie yep. that came to mind. The first one is a little obvious. We can talk about it later. But The Green Mile, 1999. Tom Hanks, Michael Clark Duncan. Bit of a Jesus allegory there, obviously, sure. with Michael Clark Duncan's character. But yeah, it ultimately ends.
Yeah, I guess
spoiler
yeah,
alert for all these movies. I guess
spoiler alert.
That are
again.
Most of them are many, many years old.
Sad spoilers, guys. Listen,
just so
sad
you know, guys,
spoilers.
We got spoilers ahead.
We're about to get very sad.
Anyway,
I'm moving on to the Mad Turtle Tea. By the way,
yeah,
or is it the Sad Turtle Tea now?
No, Sad Turtle Tea. But yeah, Green Mile ends. Oh, Sam Rockwell, great in that movie, also, as always.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, ends with the main supporting character who's wrongfully imprisoned for killing two young girls, but actually he was trying to save them, being, you know, executed and whatnot.
Put to yeah. death. Erroneous.
What a great movie, though.
Oh, fantastic.
Here's a spoiler for you. I have not seen it all the way through.
Oh, well.
Well worth your time, really. I mean,
that's what
the
I've
cast,
heard.
Like,
I've heard
the cast
it's an amazing
alone.
Movie. Yeah.
I mean, like, 90% of that movie takes place just in that prison hallway.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
But it is great.
You could do that, like, The Green Mile in another lifetime was a fantastic one-act play.
Yeah, or a stage play.
Or a stage
yeah.
play.
I could see that.
It would be fantastic. Or it could be. But again, just like the movie, hinges on performances. But with a leading man like Tom Hanks, you're on good footing. And then you've got Sam Rockwell as kind of the villain. You've got,
Michael Clark Duncan.
Michael Clark Duncan, rest his soul. Just killing it. Just killing it. This is, I can't remember his character's name, the main focus of the story, but...
Yeah, and I was going to look that up, because did he win? He was nominated for an Oscar. I don't think he won, though.
I don't think he did either.
But John Coffey.
Yeah, there you are. God, he killed as that character. Just so sweet and very just earnest and heartfelt through the entire movie.
Mm-hmm. I'm childlike almost,
yeah. Absolutely childlike. But without being simple.
Right.
You simple boy. Ugh. This tea is bad.
That's an interesting thing because, yeah, I think you're right. I think you're some. A lot of people would have played that as a mentally deficient mm-hmm. character. But no, he was just like, it was an innocence rather than a
simplicity.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Very good movie with a very sad ending.
Excellent choice. Do you think there's any world or any way that that story could have had a happy ending?
No, not really. I mean, sure, but it wouldn't have been, from a storytelling standpoint, it just wouldn't have been as interesting, sadly enough.
Sure.
It would have been a nice feel-good, like, oh, he got out in the end, but like, oh, a black man was wrongfully accused of a crime in like the 1930s or 40s, whenever that takes place. Mm-hmm. In the South, like that wasn't going to end well. And again, it was the allegory of Jesus's persecution at the end too. A little bit literal. He was just trying to save humanity.
And we persecuted him.
So yeah, you kind of miss the whole, that whole thing. If he walks free at the
like,
end.
Ha ha. So for my first sad, the first genuine sad ending film that came to mind, is one that we've actually spoken of recently. I can't remember what the episode was. But it is Jet Li's Hero.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
That movie definitely does not have a happy ending. Even though the narrative of the story is that the end of this story and Jet Li refusing to complete his mission all ends in the formation of China and the end of war. Very noble. Still, all the characters you've come to love and admire die tragic deaths. Mm. One of them killed by their lover, who then commits suicide on top of a bluff that I don't know how she got her lover's body up there, but
the semantics. I'm remembering it correctly.
Power of love.
That's the power of love. That is the song that ends the movie, so.
Oh, made that. That they fire all those arrows, and then there's that silhouette of all the arrows. And
boom, that's the silhouette power of love. Love.
That's the power of love.
Don't forget about.
And they fire the arrows.
That's perfect too, because at the end, it's all those like magistrates coming in and being like, "Kill, kill, kill." And he drops his. Imagine this with, because I don't remember how Power of Love goes that well, but I do remember how Don't You Forget About Me goes. So imagine all the magistrates are like, kill, kill, kill. And the emperor has that stoic moment of looking before he raises his hand and gives the order to fire. And if right when he does that, he drops his hand and you hear,
hey, hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey. Arrows. That's why there's the empty spot. Don't you Oh, oh man.
We God, just that's reinvented gotta be something. That movie.
Yeah, no, that's got to be something we start doing is re-editing the ends of movies with hilarious.
Just make it the worst ending. Ever, but an ending that we would laugh at.
That's killing me.
Hey, oh, hey, my God.
Hey.
Oh, sad ending fixed. Best ending.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. I was not prepared. Holy shit. That was wonderful.
Is there any way that Hero could end with a happy ending? Like, what would a happy ending for that even
look
like?
I think because it's effectively a Chinese propaganda film, right? I think it sort of had as good of an ending as it was. Like, he made the ultimate sacrifice for an idea that was the unified country of China. Yeah, our land. However you actually pronounce that, if you spoke Mandarin Chinese. But I don't know. I would say it is sad because your main character dies, but like, I think it'd be easy to argue that it's kind of uplifting in a way.
I think you're probably right. It has there's a beautiful sacrifice.
In a bittersweet way.
Kind of like in Mel Gibson's The Patriot. I don't know. I was just making that up. It's been a long time since I saw any part of that.
Pretty much everybody dies in that movie.
So I think you're right. You can argue that Hero has ultimately, if not, definitely not a happy ending, but a prosperous ending, say.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be happy, because it's still like, it's a little microcosm of like all the sacrifices that had to be made to bring the
warring factions
together or whatever. But
you're not supposed to cheer the emperor, I don't think, but you're supposed to be like, the noble deed. Unifying.
Yeah,
like sure. I understand why he's doing what he's doing.
And even he wants to let Hero or No Name. He wants to let him go, but he can't. He can't let that example go. You're right, it's very propaganda-y.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is.
It's still a badass movie. Yeah, it's a big time. Mm-hmm. But
still a great
movie.
But
so is Independence Day, that movie kicks ass.
Oh yeah.
So
absolutely. I guess I'll move into my first pick, which is 2003's Old Boy.
Old Boy.
Yeah. Director Chan Wook Park.
I don't recall this one.
Oh man. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert.
That's a good one.
I'm gonna end it. Yeah, this is based on a manga, set in, I think it's South Korea. So I'm not going to pronounce any of these names even remotely well. But it follows character Dae-soo Oh, who is, I don't remember a lot of the introductory stuff. The majority of it is kind of an action thriller of Dae-soo Oh gets imprisoned for 15 years for seemingly no apparent reason. He's wrongfully committed or what have you. Basically, he gets something super minor, but gets this ridiculous sentence of 15 years. He gets out. And he goes on a rage-fueled vengeance, just rampage, looking for the guy responsible. At the end of the movie, he finds out who it is. I think it's like an old childhood friend of his. Meets up with him, and along the way, he comes along with this love interest of Mido, whatever. But anyway, meets up with his rival, his old friend. And as he's trying to get an explanation before he beats the ever-living shit out of him, the villain reveals, you know, why he imprisoned him. I don't remember what that was, what the reasoning was. But what he also reveals is that in the same room with Mido Maido, is in fact his daughter.
Oh.
And yeah, they get intimate at one point. He being absolutely devastated with this news. Protagonist effectively starts begging for the villain not to reveal this information publicly. And as an act of like, here's what I will do for you so that you can promise me this won't get out. He cuts out his own tongue in front of these two. The falling action ends with him, like, hypnotizing himself or something like that, so that he forgets what he just learned. And it ends with him like, hugging Mido Maido.
Hmm.
And he just kind of has a smile on his face, so you're not really sure if the hypnotism worked.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's the end of Old Boy. Sorry to spoil that.
Yeah. No, that's...
It's kind of a big twist. But goddamn. It's still a great movie. It's a 2-hour movie. I've heard that is the superior version. Ugh. As opposed to the 2013 or whatever it was English remake.
Yeah, they basically made the same exact movie, but
yeah.
It's not as good.
But if you get the chance, I would still watch it, even knowing what you know now. It's been a long time since I've seen it, obviously, but I would watch it again.
We may have to do that, because it sounds insane.
It's intense, for sure. And I'm sure a lot of the action is very gruesome and just...
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Like, bloody as all hell.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a good movie. It's real bizarre. I can't remember why he kidnapped him, like... Was it just because he could?
It was some, like, childhood argument or something that the protagonist did in their childhood, like, kicked sand in his face or something like that. And he held on to this vendetta.
So it's basically Final Fantasy VIII, the movie. They were just all at the same daycare center as kids, and that's why they fight monsters or some nonsense.
Yeah, why not? I don't remember Final Fantasy VIII that much.
Nobody does.
Never really played it. I played the demo, and I decided, oh, it's okay.
I started to play it, and I got pretty far. I got to some point, and then I later read, like, recently, now that the remake's out, I read that a lot of people got to that point and stopped. It's like, oh.
I don't know. There's something about that game didn't feel as inspired as any of the other Final Fantasies.
The fact that would be smart to not level up means it's a broken game. You can, and if you're smart, will beat the game at level 1.
Really?
Yeah. Is the way I understand because there's a way to turn enemies into cards to collect for a completely irrelevant card capturing side game that goes throughout the entire game. And pretty much, as I understand it, you can level up that skill separately, and it's a lot easier to just turn all your enemies into cards than it is to actually fight
them. Huh.
And you don't get any XP for it, but you don't need XP. You just turn them all into cards.
Weird.
That's how I understand it. But
I don't remember that, but I haven't played it in 21 years or whenever it came out.
Yeah. I never did, so I don't know if I ever will.
Yeah.
It's just I don't know, that guy game just never really interested me.
Yeah, it's not one of the better ones.
The gun sword is stupid.
Yeah, it's
what a weird
stupid.
Like, they were just
It seemed like one of those things that's just begging for contrarians to be like, well, this is why Final Fantasy VIII's the best Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it's Final Fantasy for edgelords. It's their favorite.
Yeah.
Did that come out right after Romeo plus Juliet? Is that why they had guns?
Damn it, Doug, you stole my second movie. No. You stole my second sad ending movie.
Romeo plus Juliet?
Yeah.
That was a happy ending. Classic. When those two clowns died. What are you talking about?
Never was there a tale of more woe than that of Juliet and her Romeo. It's the last lines of the movie, Doug.
Romeo. Then bad acting Claire Danes and her Hawaiian shirt Romeo.
Yeah.
Draw your sword. And it's a Glock.
Wow.
Yeah, I appreciated that, but
that was fun. Yeah.
I think Baz Luhrmann's kind of a hack.
I liked Mercutio.
Yeah, that guy was excellent.
What is his name?
That wasn't
there were some people that were really good. John Leguizamo was Tybalt.
Oh, yeah,
was good.
He was.
That's who it was, yeah. Who played Mercutio?
I can't think of his name. He was also in Oz. I've seen him in a lot of things. Harold Perrineau?
Okay. The name sounds vaguely familiar. But...
Oh my god, I completely forgot that Paul Rudd was Paris.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Hmm.
Paul Sorvino was Capulet.
Mm-hmm. Good cast. Decent performances. Pete Postlethwaite was the friar.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Kobayashi. Brian Dennehy was Montague. I forgot about that.
Hmm.
Baz Luhrmann likes to like take... He's very good at making music videos. The very superficial, stripping everything of any meaning that it might have had or any sort of poetic inference. And he's like, nope, let's have these people tip their top hats and say, come now, entertain us, because I'm a hack. Anything that's beautiful about art, he can strip it down to its most awful. He is Disney, but in human form. Because his movies
no, Doug,
still make
what
money.
What you fail to recognize is that Walt Disney does not die. He just inhabits new bodies.
Oh, God.
He made a deal with the Incan god Quetzalcoatl. I don't know. Is that how you even pronounce that? Was Quetzalcoatl a god?
Sure. Why not?
Pretty close. Quetzalcoatl.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Gene Shalit over here.
Gene
what a
Shalit
fucking hack.
Now.
Gene Shalit.
Oh, he's Baz Luhrmann's not. Nope, it's like Zack Snyder. Like, he makes very beautiful things to look at.
Oh, Zack Snyder.
It's Zack Snyder's much more aggressive about it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's unfortunate why he had to step away.
Yeah,
but it's kind of for the best that he did step away.
I think it was probably too late.
Yeah.
His weird explanation of, like, Batman doesn't kill people. He goes, listen, if you don't think superheroes killed people and embezzled money, then, like, what are you talking about, man? You know, stories, you can kind of make them whatever you want. You set the rules. And just be like, I wanted to explore this version, but don't, like, blame people for thinking you're a moron.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. Like, for example, The Boys. Yeah, that principle that he had totally works with The Boys. But when you're working with Batman, an established name, where his one rule is he does not kill, he does not use guns, he does not kill, what the hell, man?
Well, if you don't think... Zack Snyder lives in a weird, sad version of reality. Ayn Rand is his big inspiration, so what do we expect?
So yeah, Romeo plus Juliet.
That's
that movie.
Within the husk of this little flower, sin hath residence.
It's sad.
And medicine power. It's a metaphor!
That's a movie where, like, I mean, a story, but, like, if one person had just been like, you know what, if we wait 30 seconds to think about this, I think it's all going to be all right. And then it would have been.
Yeah, but that's what I've always kind of liked about Romeo and Juliet, is that it still is a tragedy, but it's not the tragedy of two people loving each other so much they just had to kill each other. It's this tragedy of two families hating each other so much that they made such a mystery of each other that how could you expect the two kids not to fall into something like this? And then, yeah, if they had just been given the time to, I don't know, date, they would realize, like, Juliet might realize, like, oh, Romeo's kind of a little whiny bitch. And Romeo might be like, well, Juliet is just, she's just never satisfied. So maybe I'll go back to Rosaline.
Yeah. And we're like 13 and 15, respectively. So we've got at least 20 years left to live. We have our whole lives ahead of us. In 1600s time or 1400s, whatever it was.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm 15. I'm having my midlife crisis.
Yeah, I got to figure things out now. Should we just do the elephant in the room sad movie? Does Titanic count? Because we all knew how it was going to end before the movie even started.
Well, I was going to say Rogue One for that same.
Well, sure.
Rogue One, but, yeah, I guess it's a sad ending. Yeah, but again, okay. we knew exactly where it was going to end up.
Yeah.
It actually ended on the word hope, Ben.
It did.
In that horrifying CGI Princess Leia.
They need a new hope.
What's the name of the next movie?
We already did a Star Wars episode. Stop it.
We just did one.
Just.
It won't be long before we do another, but it's fine.
Aaron, you got another sad movie?
Yeah, this one I actually mentioned in our Facebook chat, which is the whole reason why we're doing this episode. Mm-hmm. The Wrestler, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Director Darren Aronofsky,
yes,
I think is. Mickey Rourke plays Randy the Ram Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Fictional wrestler, big in the 80s, all probably roided out. But it's, I mean, again, this is 2008. It's kind of taken place in modern times back in that time, of him like readjusting to modern society or what have you. And he's just kind of like trying to get by. He's got a daughter played by Evan Rachel Wood, which is surprising to me. I forgot about that.
Oh,
name,
yeah.
Stephanie. Evan Rachel Wood played Dolores in Westworld.
Oh.
For those of you unacquainted, yes. But it's kind of this thing of like trying to rekindle a relationship with his daughter, because he at some point walked out to pursue his wrestling career. So she never really had a good relationship with her father. And the whole movie, I don't remember it entirely, of course, is just kind of Mickey Rourke trying to rekindle that connection, doing odd jobs just to, you know, get by, and having these kind of tough moments of people recognizing him and then kind of laughing in his face. Dude, you were at the top of your game, and now look at you. Ha ha, idiot. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it's about, like, his body breaking down, and, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, because.
But then he meets a stripper who's having the same problem, but it's Marissa Tomei, and you're like, yeah.
That's right. Good. Yeah, that's who Marissa Tomei played. Yeah.
Like, is Marissa Tomei believable as an old, broken-down stripper? Especially in 2008?
Yeah. I completely forgot about that. That's like one of the main points of that movie. Anyway.
And she's like, I know this car wasn't a Plymouth because the Plymouth doesn't have poly traction. I don't remember. Is that her from My Cousin Vinny?
Yes.
Thank you.
She won an Oscar for that.
I know. Great movie.
It is a really good movie.
It is.
And she's good in it. It's just kind of weird that she won an Oscar for that. But.
Yes. My Cousin Vizzy. Yep. That's the name.
My Cousin Rum.
My Cousin Vizzy. It's a
Turtle punch, fizzy.
Update.
The Mad Turtle fizzy
mad
punch.
Mad Turtle punch does not get better as it gets nearer room temperature.
Fizzy rum punch, Mad Turtle tea. Fizzy rum punch, Mad Turtle tea.
Fizzy rum punch, Mad Turtle tea. You will throw up soon in the toilet.
Any more sad movies? There's a lot of sad movies.
I mean, oh, I was gonna go into the ending of The Wrestler, but
oh yeah,
that's
why
fine.
It's sad.
Yeah, okay. Yep. The whole important sad ending aspect that we were doing.
It's kind of a sad movie. But yeah.
It's just overall a sad movie, but the ending is pretty harsh. Long story short, he does at a brief moment kind of reconnect with his daughter, and they're starting to rekindle their relationship, and then at some point, I don't remember exactly what happens, but he kind of falls back into his old, like, yeah, this is me, I'm the Ram, sure. All right, and partying, and drugs, and the whole shebang. Misses out on his daughter's
piano recital.
I don't know, it's like a honestly, I was gonna say recital, but I don't think that was there was some big event that she wanted him there for. He missed it, and everything fell apart again.
Because he went to Mr. Marissa Tomei's stripping recital instead.
Something, I'm sure. They have one final moment together where Stephanie basically says, like, I'm done. I can't fucking do this anymore. Stay out of my life. Mm-hmm. For good. Fuck off. And then Mickey Rourke gets back into wrestling. He has this big, like, moment with the crowd of just, like, explaining why he does what he does. Everybody's, like, cheering, and yeah, the Ram is back. But he's notably, like, his body is shutting down.
Yeah.
In the ring. And it ends with him jumping off the top turnbuckle, and that's it. But it heavily implies that, like, dude is not good. Like, he's about to have a heart attack.
It's better than the director's cut ending, so that, where he successfully lands the guy. And you think, like, oh, maybe he made the right choice. And then his daughter comes in and just smashes him with a chair.
And then it launches the Wrestler cinematic universe.
Oh, shit.
I'd watch it.
The Avengers includes the Wrestler, Nacho Libre, that's it. It's just those two.
Yep. The dynamic
Nacho.
Duo. Any other sad movies?
I mean, there's a.
I think you could do the obvious of like Toy Story 3, but
is that a sad one? I don't think it is. I think it's.
Therein lies the rub of, like, it's a matter of interpretation.
I was telling my friend Veronica about the idea of this this episode, and she immediately said Up, and I was like, well,
no, that's the opposite. The beginning of Up is
sad. Up has a really sad beginning.
No, the beginning is soul crushing.
The ending is the point is that he realized that their whole life together was the adventure.
Mm-hmm. And that adventures go on.
Yeah, adventures don't stop.
I'm sad now.
But yeah.
For sure.
Sad movies. So sad, let me put this to you real quick. Sad movie ending. Inherently more powerful than happy ending or not?
No.
Inherently, I would say no. I mean, again, it all kind of depends on how it is presented, how it is executed. I don't think there's an inherent power to sad movies or sad endings.
Can you think of a sad ending? And I know I'm kind of launching this on you guys, but can you think of a sad ending that was not effective?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
30 Days of Night.
Ah. Okay.
So, how you love to hate In the Name of the King and Dungeon Siege Story, I love to hate
30 Days.
30 Days of Night.
But
because it was such a shoehorned in, like, oh no, the protagonist died after all this time. The movie was garbage. The entire movie was such garbage that it doesn't fucking matter who dies. You're just glad that the movie's over. Oh, what a shithole movie. And to any fans out there who are defending 30 Days of Night, shut up.
All right, so here's the
thing. Just shut up. You're wrong.
It's going to happen, and maybe it already has, and I just don't fully understand it. It's going to happen where Doug is going to have the one movie that he just fucking loves to hate, and we will have completed our trinity of three movies that we love to hate.
Oh, we know which one it is.
Which one?
Captain Marvel.
No.
No, it's... I don't think it's...
The problem is...
I know. It's more the... The meta,
yeah.
The
he doesn't like the, he doesn't like the fan base.
Yeah, fan base of Captain Marvel is insufferable, but
completely fair.
This movie is really good because it's important. Like, well, it's neither of those things. But the movie was fine.
Yeah, it was okay.
The only thing it proved to the world is that we'll buy anything that has Marvel on it. The movie
and a strong female lead.
Yeah. Okay. An underacted. God person who never does anything wrong from start to finish in the movie. What an interesting character.
It's female Superman, Doug. What do you want?
I know. Superman's such an interesting character on film, too. Who doesn't love the person who can't be stopped and never does anything wrong?
That's great.
Probably Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Ooh,
it's a trash movie and it represents the death of cinema.
Are you listening, Andrew?
He already knows.
Oh, I know he already knows.
So here's what I'm saying. Now that we have our trifecta, I think we need to have a movie marathon day where we watch all three of them. Which is going to be difficult because I'm pretty sure In the Name of the King is over a 2-hour movie. And
I'll have to look up.
So anyway. I think we need to do that, and we can bring the Sotskers in on it. We can make a marathon drinking game day of it. We can all be just shit-faced and hating our lives by the end of the day. But also, I think we each need to get a tattoo, boys.
No.
Yep.
Not, but what?
Yep. Fallen Kingdom on you.
No.
30 Days of Night on Aaron.
Nope.
Yep.
I refuse.
We'll be drunk enough by the end of that marathon day.
It is absolutely not happening.
We'll see.
How the anyway? 30 Days of Night. 30 Days of Night. An hour and 53 minutes. What the fuck? Sorry.
Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom is like 2 hours and 15 minutes. God. Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom. It's also especially frustrating because the most interesting part of that movie is the end. And then they're like, "Okay, bye."
That's what I've
this
heard.
Was a trailer for the next movie. You suckers.
Yeah, I've heard it was not a bad. Like cliffhanger, but at the same time, it was like, if that is the good part of the movie, woof.
No, it's for some reason it's a dinosaur loose in a haunted mansion, and nothing that happens makes any sense. Literally everything that happens because they need the next scene to come where the dinosaur goes chomp chomp at somebody.
Ah,
it's so pointless. There's a clone person. A guy tells the villain to call the cops on himself. Guess what? He doesn't call the cops on himself. What a just garbage movie.
I need to see this movie.
In the Name of the King, a Dungeon Seeds story, or a Dungeon Seeds tale, excuse me, has
a tale.
Yeah, it's a tale. It has a 4% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Woof. That's what I should look up. 30 Days of Night. Sorry,
it's 2 hours and 7 minutes long.
Man, that's long. Is it a Uwe Boll movie, though?
Yeah.
No wonder it's bad.
It's Uwe Boll's Look at Me Not Make Lord of the Rings.
How?
Jurassic World has 48%, so.
Well, I got you all beat. 30 Days of Night, 51%.
Wow.
Dang. 56% audience score. I don't even know how it got that high. Like,
51% of people gave it a 5 or better.
Yeah. It has an interesting premise, but man, that's it.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway.
All right, folks. So rounding out our episode, as we often do, is a little segment we like to call Aaron Hasn't Seen. And it's all
Aaron
about...
Aaron Hasn't Seen.
It's all about movies Aaron hasn't seen. We take suggestions from you, the listeners. From you, the people. And we challenge Aaron to summarize movies that he may or may not has seen or hasn't seen. If he has seen the movie, he tries to remember it as best he can. If he hasn't seen it, then we give him one chance to look at the movie poster and read the slogan and then do his best job to elaborate or expound upon the plot of the movie. And this week's movie comes from Facebook, from our friend Leanne. She challenged Aaron to a 1982 comedy classic, Night Shift.
Oh, no. You've never seen Night Shift.
Aaron, well, has you seen...
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold your horses, Doug.
A point of order.
I'm looking at the poster here, and let me tell you, I hasn't. I has not seen this movie. Okay, so we got Night Shift. Tagline. Ever since two enterprising young men turned the city morgue... Wow, city morgue? All right. Into a swinging business, people have been dying to get in. Okay, so we got a Ron Howard film. Uh-huh. Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton, as well as Shelley Long. Yeah. I don't know who Shelley Long is.
Oh, I bet you do.
I probably would recognize
her. Yeah,
I'm sure I'd recognize her somewhere, but that's a weird combination between Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton.
Huh?
To me, anyway. I don't know.
Sure.
So, yeah, the poster has what I'm guessing is supposed to be a hearse.
Uh-huh.
Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton in their particular uniforms with a whole bunch of ladies crammed in there. And all kinds of... I don't even know what to... beer cans, money, panties, all this shit.
Streamers.
Some
confetti.
Yeah, streamers. Yep, confetti. Huh. Okay. So... enterprising young men. These are... Michael Keaton and Henry Winkler meet at a bar. And they're like, I got it. We got it. What we're going to do is throw late night parties in graveyards and cemeteries. And the end. I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Who do you think the antagonist is? The cops, the dead people, the crotchety old graveyard owner?
I guess I'll say the cops.
I just was curious because I don't know if that's true.
Oh.
None of those are options that I'm aware of. But
so
I,
you hasn't seen
this I movie. Hasn't seen this movie. I love the idea though that they throw parties in graveyards and that the dead come to life and are like, shut the fuck up. That would be a fantastic twist. Doug, has you seen Night Shift?
Yeah, a long time ago. I don't remember much about it. They start a brothel out of the morgue.
Yeah.
I mean,
God. A morgue attendant is talked into running a brothel at his workplace after a deceased pimp is sent there. However, the pimp's killers don't look too kindly on this new business, nor does the morgue's owner. First of all, do people own morgues? I thought those were city things. I didn't think that there was like, oh, come down to Jenkins Morgue.
No, this it's like that's the 80s thing.
We run a stiff competitive price. Ho-ho.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Whew. Wow.
It's the 80s thing where every business has to have a convenient owner.
Yeah, because that way there has to be a chance that they're going to lose the business, no matter what the business is.
Oh, boys, thanks for being part of the morgue. I've loved having you boys come up under my tutelage ever since high school. Oh, gee, we're real glad to be here, but we're going to have to close up. People just ain't dying like they used to.
That's right, old man. This is me, Chad Ski Man. And the only way you're going to get this,
the only way you're going to get this morgue back
is if you beat me in a ski race.
Grand down prize is the deed to the morgue.
They thought they were goners, but then a dead ski instructor came through the door. Wait, if we put a battery up his butt, the electric generation will motorize all his muscle memory, and he could win the race for us. Weekend at Bernie's Night Shift 9.
Where's the training montage and the song that goes with it?
Playing with the boys. You know, in that movie, Another One Bites the Dust plays like 9 times.
Yeah. Probably.
So, probably. Aaron hasn't seen Woo! Night Shift. What a shocker.
I remember it being like reasonably funny, but yeah, I don't remember too much about it.
I mean, it's got a 6.6 on IMDb. So better than average.
Hey. Probably higher than 30 Days a Night.
The poster reminds me of like the originals Ghostbusters like artwork. Some of that you saw. It reminds me of like Johnny Dangerous's cover art, which is another brilliant. Sotskers, if you haven't seen Johnny Dangerously, excuse me, it is a fantastic Michael Keaton comedy. Top notch. It is hilarious. I quote it almost every day. You fucking assholes. You cork suckers. He continued murdering the English language and anyone who got in his way.
I can see and I can hear. I can see and I can hear. But who am I?
I forgot about that bit. They made this Magnum for him special. It shoots through schools. Okay.
Topical.
Anyway. Shit. Talk about a sad ending. Jesus.
Yeah.
Oof.
Anyway.
Well, you voted for it, 2019 America.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that makes it through the editing. you know what? One thing that we haven't done. What are we watching? Is anyone watching anything of note?
I'm watching Borderlands 3.
You son of a bitch. I'm still finishing.
Or maybe you could watch it too if I stream it on my Twitch channel.
No,
I'm going to plug
it.
Do it. Twitch.tv/justthetib. That's JustTheTibb. I struggled with that spelling, but it's fine. Go there. I'm going to stream Borderlands 3 tomorrow night at a time.
Do you know which character you're playing yet?
I don't know. They all look so fun.
I know.
You know what? This is my declaration, Sotskers.
Oh, you're hearing it here first.
My first character, the character that I am going to stream tomorrow night is, drumroll, Zane the Operative.
All right. Hell yeah.
Because he's got an Irish accent and he looks like fun.
This will be really interesting to hear next week when this has all already happened.
That's a good point.
Oh, shit.
Damn it.
This is all pointless.
It is all pointless. No!
But still follow, watch Aaron's Twitch, though, because...
Still should.
Still should on different days.
You can also challenge Aaron to movies he has or hasn't seen on our social media. You can use the hashtag AaronHasn'tSeen, and you can find us on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. We are SotsWatch, SotsWatch. Challenge Aaron to Aaron Hasn't Seen. There.
Yes.
Or tell us if there's another sad ending movie that we missed that you think better exemplifies the scenario. Or tell us the big thing I want to know, is there a movie out there that has an accidentally sad ending? Because I think that would be, that's something.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be sad.
It wasn't so supposed to be sad, but it ends up being like kind of sad. I'd like to know that because I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I bet it's out there. I bet that exists. Or I bet that there's a movie that ended kind of happy in the time, but as it has aged, the ending looks sadder and sadder.
Fern Gully.
Oof.
Hmm. Okay.
It still ends happy, but it's kind of ironically sad now. Look how hopeful we were back in 91 or whenever the hell Fern Gully was.
We're going to save the rainforest.
I am sad. Nope,
just going to light it on fire in 20 years.
I am sad now.
Well, man, goddamn, there was sad so much rainforest back then. 92. I wasn't far off.
You weren't too far off. In the most meta way, this is a sad ending, everybody. Because I'm Aaron.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Doug.
Keep watching, Sots.